Thank you. Good morning, church. Today I've entitled my sharing God's Design for Sexuality. I think I like the theme that you have for this month, shining light in the midst of darkness. I'm sure you agree the world is getting darker and darker. And in the area of sexuality, we have the sexual revolution, and from there it grew into the LGBT revolution. And of course, now it's the whole transgenderism ideas and ideology spreading fast and furious into the schools, into the media, into different countries. And of course, our main concern is, how does it affect our children? Before I carry on, I want to do a shout out to Choices Ministries. You know, 10 years ago, when I started to look at this issue, I talked to different people. They said, go and talk to Choices, go and talk to Choices. So thankful for Choices. At the time, I really wanted to learn and find out what was happening and how can we respond, how can we support and help. And staff past and present, volunteers past and present, and the overcomers, especially past and present, have shared, have taught, have supported. And I'm one of those that benefited from all that they have done. It has taught me many things. And I really want to encourage you to take advantage of the 7 workshops and talks that they have organized. I believe this is one of the, probably the most comprehensive series of talks and workshops organized by any church for their members. God's Design for Sexuality. So where do we start? I think we should start at the beginning, where God says He created everything, including man in His image. Male and female, He created them, and He told man and woman, be fruitful, multiply, increase in number, fill the earth, subdue it. I want to bring us back to the garden. Back to the garden where it all began. Let me also explain the difference between God's design and man's desire. Back in the garden, God told man and woman, be fruitful, have dominion, rule over. That's God's design. And of course, if we follow God's design, that means we are living life within certain boundaries called sexual ethics. But because of the fallen nature, that is the man's desire, the sinful desire and needs, and we have walked away from the Garden of Eden, since Adam and Eve, we have walked out of the Garden of Eden, and because of man's desire, it resulted in the whole sexual revolution. I think some of us like to watch football games or whatever, ball games. You know, there's always the referee and the linesman and the lines. What if we are playing in the field and some of us say, you know, the linesman, very troublesome, every now and then go and raise the flag, I'll spoil the game. Let us get rid of the linesman. And then after some time, we continue to play and then the referee blow the whistle, show a yellow card. We say, referee Kayua, let's get rid of the referee. And then we also don't want the lines because it sets certain boundaries. We just want to be free to play the way we want to play, the way we enjoy playing, and we got rid of the lines. So, what's going to happen? If you are at the spectator stand watching this group of players, what do you think will happen after some time? It'll be chaos, right? Who's going to decide how to play the game? Free for all. I think that's what's happening as far as the whole sexual revolution is concerned. Everybody is deciding how to do sex, how to do marriage, how to do family. Let me explain sexual ethics, which is God's design. If you want children, you need to first have sex. And by the way, if there are children below 12 years old, certain parts are actually not meant for younger members of the house. So when I tell you, you may have to close their eyes and close their ears. When they have children, when they have babies, have sex. When they have sex, it has to be within marriage. And why marriage is important? Because marriage is designed by God to raise children. A child only needs 2-3 things. A father who loves me, a mother who loves me, and a father and a mother who love each other. The marriage is meant to seal this man and woman together so that this father and mother can take care of the child that they bring into the world. That's why marriage is meant to be permanent. Sex, of course, provides the pleasure. Children are for procreation. This is sexual ethics. In fact, marriage is the institution that separates one generation from the next generation. Without husband and wife coming together, without father and mother, you can't have children. What separates one generation from the next generation is the institution of marriage. That's why it's always under attack. What is passed down from one generation to the next has to be passed down through a father and a mother. That is sexual ethics, God's design. And what if we walked away? What if we separate pleasure from the responsibility? Separating sex from the children. Well, we are smart enough, we can do that. That's why contraceptives, the condoms, the pill. And of course, we know that it doesn't work all the time. We forget to read the fine line. And sometimes we are drunk, so we forget to use all these protective... whatever that protects us from getting ourselves a child. Then what happens? Pregnant. Pregnant how? Get rid of the problem, law. And then we come up with solutions like abortion. And of course, for the men, they are very happy because nowadays with feminism, first wave, second wave, third wave, fourth wave of feminism, women now say, my body, my choice. For the men, they're very happy. Your body, your choice. Well, I thought the child came from both of us, but since you want to take full responsibility, and women sadly has allowed men to abdicate the responsibility of being responsible for the child. And by the way, just in case you think men will be very happy when woman does that, give them 10, 20, 30 years. You know, I'm now working with fathers, the Elijah 7000 movement. Now and then, a father or two will come up to me and say, Jason, 20, 30 years ago, this happened. I was in university or whatever, and I got rid of the problem. I thought, that's it. But I wonder sometimes nowadays, I wonder if I allow my child to live, what he or she will be doing today. You know, if some of us are having those memories, I would encourage you to talk to a pastor, talk to a counselor. You know, God is a God of second chance. There's always redemption, healing, and restoration. So we separate pleasure from responsibility, but what about separating pleasure from the commitment? We are also very good at that. Since we have the condoms, we have the contraceptives, we just need the pleasure. We don't need to commit to each other. Consent will do. In fact, consent is being promoted nowadays. You and I agree? One night out, okay. You happy, I happy, all right. You, two nights, next week, also can. As long as you're happy, I'm happy. We all consent now. We never force each other, okay? We never force, huh? Okay. But consent is such a low bar compared to commitment. And for us Christians, it is actually a vow. Till death do us part. But of course, consent is still better than forcing each other. That would be rape. Now we are all going for consent because we just want the pleasure. Now when that happens, you know what's going to... What we will see? We will treat marriage as optional. We will devalue marriage. Why get married since I can have the pleasure without the commitment? We will allow marriage to be redefined. And when that happens, children will become optional, children will be devalued, and children becomes a product. Of course, when we devalue marriage, why must be man and woman? Why can't man and man be happy? Why can't woman and woman have the pleasure too? Or they also want to have children. How to have children? Let's buy one. Let's buy a womb somewhere far away, some poor woman in some poor country willing to offer the womb for 9 months. Let us pay for her to give us a baby so that two of us can be fathers. This is sexual revolution. Now let us go back to the topic of family, because we talk about sex, sexuality, marriage. We cannot run away from the topic of family. It's all about family. And we know family is the basic building block of society. Family is the foundation of a nation. Many politicians, I was a civil servant before. Sometimes I draft speeches, I will add this in. I find it very long-winded. A family is the basic foundation of society. Family is a basic building block of society. Very long-winded. I like the Chinese version better. Guojia, just two words. You see the word jia inside? In the past, we say, 没有国哪有家. But I will say that, 没有家哪有国. In fact, this sentence, family is the basic building block of society. I know some people ask me before, say, Jason, is it even biblical? Did the Bible say family is the basic building block? That family is the foundation of a nation? Did the Bible say so? Where can you find it in the Bible? Right at the beginning. This is where it comes from. God created man in his image, male and female, and when God told man and woman, be fruitful, that's where family comes from. And out of one family, many families, out of many families, fill the earth, subdue it, rule over. You know, I know sometimes when I talk to men, I talk to fathers, they say, well, work got problem, you know, work-life balance. I say, I know that is work. I know men, we learn to chiong, we want to plant church, we want to have a successful career. That is like the right leg. You know what's the left leg? The left leg is our marriage and our family, our children. And if this leg is not strong, sooner or later, we will pull back. Because God first created man in his image, male and female, marriage, children, be fruitful, have children. Out of that, then we go and rule over. We can't rule over unless we protect and strengthen and restore family. Let me unpack this, simplify it even further. God created man in his image, we are created in God's image. Male and female, that's husband and wife, that's a marriage. Of course, the issue of gender is now so confusing. Am I male? Am I female? And when God said, be fruitful, that's the parents and children, so that's family. So I'm going to touch on this. Are we in God's image? What about the marriage? What about family? So, do you believe that you are created in God's image? You know, years ago when I was a student, and now even our children, the school is asking them to read magazines like that. And once in a while, we will read how apes become men or become human. And if we believe we are apes, we will behave like apes, right? If we believe we are animals, we will behave like animals. The penguin does it, so maybe we will follow the penguin. But the animal kingdom, they eat each other and they kill each other. Does it mean that we also eat each other up? Of course not. What about marriage? Man and woman, male and female. Well, 10 years ago, exactly 10 years ago, Ashley Madison, a website that promotes adultery, almost came to Singapore. Fortunately, there was a large group of Singaporeans said, no, 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 how can we allow a company make money out of extramarital affairs? When I look at the tagline, life is short, have an affair. You know, those of us in branding, I think you say, well, this is actually a very good tagline. Of course, the research which they did say 74% of men say they would have an affair if they do not get caught. Nowadays, you don't need to go office to look for someone. Social media, lots of apps. Ashley Madison is just one of them. In fact, it's not even the most popular one. At the time, it was the second most popular. But of course, the problem is that if you key in your data, you know, the data sooner or later will be leaked. And of course, Ashley Madison got sued. I zoom in into one of the paragraphs, and you know what it reads? Canadian media in July reported that one in five Ottawa residents, or nearly 200,000 people, were registered with Ashley Madison, making the city the most infidelity-friendly in the country. And by the way, Ashley Madison is not the only website that promotes this, so there are many others. But yet, on one website, we already have 200,000. I'm not sure about you, but I don't think I want Singapore to be known as the most infidelity-friendly. I think we want Singapore to be known as the most family-friendly, children-friendly, baby-friendly, marriage-friendly, not infidelity-friendly. I recall at the time I also read somewhere that they discovered there were 30 or 40 over people from Singapore signed up from this website. You know how they know? Because there was the address .moe.sg behind. So the moral of the story is that if you want to sign up for such websites, don't use your office email address. Now, why do we stop at two? If we keep moving away from God's design and follow our man's desire, sexual revolution, we will end up with the LGBT revolution. Why must it be men and women if we don't believe in God's design? Why can't it be two men? Why not three men? And if the three men wants to be fathers, the sisters will volunteer. I can be a surrogate mother. I can offer my egg. Now, this was 2015, this article. Europe has gone even far down the slope now. And just in case some of us feel that it will never happen to Singapore, I thought it will, never. But shortly after that, I read an article, and three men in Singapore having a relationship, sexual relationship. And they say all relationships are different and love is love in whatever form it takes. well, if I get rid of the referee, I get rid of the linesman, I get rid of the lines, then we decide how to play football. Anything goes. Let me read something to you. This was 2007, just after the first debate on 377A. We knew that last year there was a debate, and of course 377A is no more. But 15 years ago, when it was first surfaced in Parliament to be debated, many MPs spoke. Some were for, some were for repeal, some were for retention. At the end of the debate, our Prime Minister, the head of state, made some concluding remarks. And this was what he said. On issues of moral values with consequences to the wider society, first, we should decide what is right for ourselves. But secondly, before we are carried away by what other societies do, I think it is wiser for us to observe the impact of radical departures from the traditional norms on early movers. So we will let others take the lead. We will stay one step behind the front line of change. Watch how things work out elsewhere before we make any irrevocable moves. You know the words in red, wiser. It is wise for us to observe what is happening. The radical departures from the traditional norms. And then he also said that when we start moving, these are irrevocable moves. Cannot go stand. So I took heed of his advice. For the last 15 years, I've been observing what is happening in other countries. And sadly, some of them have gone very far. And a few years ago, I saw a video. It is entitled, Europe is Finished. It's about half an hour, but I will show you just 5 minutes. But by the way, again, if you have children, this is the time to close their eyes. It may be offensive to some of you, but this is reality. This is happening in some parts of the world. In fact, a few months ago, when I showed this to a group of people, one father came up to me and said, Jason, this is already very dated. The situation is even worse now. So let's take a look at this video.
If you consider this revolting and perverted, understand that you will be seen as an intolerant, shallow person who should visit a psychiatrist. This is a usual playground slide. You don't believe it? Take a closer look. A boy of five is sliding down right there. This playground slide is in Norway, and it was put there in order to bring up children in a proper way, not to feel shy, but to be developed. Are you shocked? Well, if so, it means that you are backward and not able to appreciate how modern civilization has evolved. Not long ago, Europeans decided to civilize their citizens from the cradle in order to reduce the number of such stupid people. The youngest children are taught core values through the examples of toy animals. This French book has the title, Little Fox Jean Has Two Mums. And here is a story about a baby penguin entitled, The Tango of Two Fathers, Why Not? Preschool teachers in kindergartens read such books to children. Teachers use special methods and techniques which are being worked out in ministries. For example, the Danish Ministry of Equality has printed a guideline for nursery teachers called Kindergartens, where there is a place for peppy princes and pirate princesses. In Latvia, you can find books for boys entitled The Day When Karlis Was Karlene, and for girls, The Day When Ruta Was Richard, published under the patronage of the ministry. And you encounter the same situation in Germany. For instance, the pupils of one German school swapped sexes. In honor of Gender Equality Day, boys and girls cross-dressed. In fact, everybody took part, both teachers and students, because, according to Europeans, it helps to reach mutual understanding.
Schüler sich in der Schule, wo sie sehr lange in ihrer Jugend sind, nicht verstellen müssen, sondern sein können, wer sie sind.
If you're shocked by all this, that handicraft and PE teachers can come to school in a skirt with makeup and high heels, and a maths teacher can come to school wearing men's trousers and false beard, then it means you are backward. LGBT ideologists are sure that a man in his infancy is neuter. That's why he can later choose who he wants to be, he, she, or it. These cute boxes are not sold in sex shops, but are given out in kindergartens in Basel, Switzerland. Plastic boxes are made for children of 4 years and upward. A complete set is made up of queer dolls, special illustrated books, and toys imitating genitals. But that's not the worst. The most horrible thing is that nowadays kids are transformed and become some kind of neuter. A creature that doesn't know who it is, male or female. This is Max. He is 2. His English father and mother dress him in boys' trousers as a boy and girls' skirts. Though Max was born as a normal boy, his parents consider this meaningless. Until the boy decides for himself who he is, his parents make him play with both toy cars and dolls. His mother paints his nails and pins up his hair with girlish hairpins. And his father shows him how to assemble a robot. According to his parents, they do it for the sake of their child. According to Lisa, Max's 23-year-old mother, a gender-neutral upbringing gives a child the freedom to choose between stereotypical male and female clothes and toys. He gets dressed and plays with toys the way he likes. From an early age, Max, who is brought up as God knows who, and his parents and hundreds of thousands of European families, have fallen victim to a modern gender theory, which turns people into neutered creatures.
You know, thankfully, our MOE schools are still gatekeeping. But in some of our international schools, I know of one school, they have 200-300 LGBT books in the library. And children can just take and read whatever they want. One particular school, last year, I remember, someone told me, one of the principals actually read one of the books to the whole school during the school assembly. And spoken to two mothers, one of the mother told me that one day the child came home and told the mother, "Mom, I'm not sure whether I am a he, she, or it, or they. I haven't decided yet." The mother freaked out and transferred the daughter out of the school. And the mother, another mother, actually had to see a psychologist because when she discovered what was being taught in the curriculum, she had to see a psychologist because every day she has to send her child to a school and she doesn't even know what they are teaching the child. Finally, the mother also transferred the son out of that school. It is coming to our shores, and in fact, it is here. Let's go back to what our Prime Minister said 15 years ago. I would like to highlight the sentence in red. "We will let others take the lead. We will stay one step behind the front line of change." If I were to write a speech now, I would probably tell the whole of Singapore, one step is not good enough. Let's stay far, far behind the front line of change. You know why? Because if other nations take 10 steps, we will take 9 steps because one step behind, right? If other nations take 100 steps, we will take 99. Is that what we want to do? Follow? One step behind? You know, as I read the scripture, what does God say? It seems that God is saying the same thing that our Prime Minister said 15 years ago. It seems that whoever drafted his speech actually paraphrased from this passage in the Bible. Let's read. "Then the Lord said to Moses, 'Give the following instructions to the people of Israel. I am the Lord your God, so do not act like the people in Egypt where you used to be, or like the people of Canaan where I am taking you.'" Basically, what God is telling his people, don't follow other nations. But instead, what was the advice from God? You must obey my regulations and be careful to obey my decrees, for I am the Lord your God. If you obey my decrees and my regulations, you will find life through them. I am the Lord. How many of you are parents here? Parents? Many parents here? Do you have an occasion where your child come to you and say, "Mommy, mommy, how come cannot? How come my friend can? How come I cannot? Mommy, how come? Why?" What will mommy say? Ask daddy. "Daddy, daddy, how come cannot? How come all my friends can? How come I cannot? How come like that?" What would daddy say? Ask mommy. "Mommy, daddy." But if daddy is smart, daddy will say, "Ask pastor." "Pastor? How come cannot? How come everybody else can? How come we cannot?" Why like that? What would pastor say? Bible says so. Bible, how come cannot? Bible, how come cannot? Basically, we're asking God, right? The good thing is, very often, God has reasons. What is God's reason? If you obey my decrees, my regulations, you will find life. What is the opposite of life? Death. We follow God's design, there's life. We go with the whole sexual revolution and follow man's desire and Satan's deceptions, there will be death. There are always consequences. When you remove the referee, you remove the linesman, you remove the lines, well, let's play football. It will end in chaos. And that's where societies in some parts of the world are heading towards. Let me just simplify it even further. God's design versus man's deviations or Satan's deceptions, because Satan will always deceive, right? Did God really say marriage must be man and woman? So God's design is man, woman, be fruitful, multiply, and it's not just the institution of marriage, male and female, husband and wife, father and mother, but also husband and wife loving each other until death do us part, turning hearts of fathers and mothers to the children, children honoring father and mother. That is God's design. But we have walked away. Since Adam and Eve walked out of the Garden of Eden, we have come a long, long way. We don't have enough children. That's why Singapore, we are in trouble, right? You think PAP is the one that asks us to have more babies? No, huh? God is the one, be fruitful. So we are not fruitful, we are in big trouble. And hearts are turned away from each other. We have no time for each other. Dual income families, we're just so busy. And then, of course, I work in the Ministry of Social and Family Development for 6 years. I was in charge of family violence, child abuse, foster care, probation service, youth at risk, all the residential homes, absent parents, abusive parents. Pornography. We have moved away from looking at another person in God's image. We look at another person to satisfy our sexual desires. Premarital relationships. Some of us, of course, acted out before marriage, even during marriage. Not just husband looking for partners. Wives are also looking for adulterous relationships. You know, up to this point, I have not even talked about LGBT yet. It's all heterosexual brokenness. You know, I mentor a number of the people with same-sex attraction or gender dysphoria. Once in a while, they'll look at me and say, "You know, your marriage is so broken. Right? You're also addicted to porn. Right? You're also, you know, don't treasure marriage. Right? So are you talking about me?" And I think, sadly, it is true. We are all broken. We are all sexually broken. Of course, when the sexual revolution continues, then there will be LGBT relationships. And of course, if you look at the HIV, we look at the, there are consequences. And now there are people who claim that they are born attracted to children. They say that it's a pedophilic gene, so they can't help it. I'm born this way. Well, why stop at 2? Why not 3? Why not 4? Why not 5? Because if we move away from God's design, must it be man and woman? Why not 2 men? Why not 2 women? Why not 3 men? Why not 5? You know, I know of even, this was already 2-3 years ago, someone told me that there's a group of Christians, I'm sure there are other groups, in a chat group whereby they are just sleeping with each other. They created a chat group to do that, and they are Christians. And of course, bestiality. And just in case we think that it will never happen, because bestiality, how can human beings have sex with animals? There was a country in Europe that actually had this. They have motels that sell sex with animals. And you know it was stopped. You know why it was stopped? Not because of morality, but because of animal rights. So you cannot do this to animals, yeah, because, well, at least it was stopped. Now, if we follow God's design, there will be blessings. God says so. If we deviate, we move away, there will be curses. That's what the Bible says. But of course, as Christians, when we have friends, we have colleagues, we have neighbors who are not Christians. So we cannot use words like blessing and curses, because they will say, you go back to your church, like, you know, you're... So what words do we use? Very simple. Benefits. If the marriage is strong, wouldn't there be benefits for the family and for society? If fathers are there for the children, if that's for life, wouldn't there be benefits for children? But of course, if we moved away from God's design, there will be costs and consequences. Family violence, child abuse, absent fathers, pornography. We objectify another human being. And then after that, we want to look at our wife. How to compare, right? Premarital relationships, what are the costs? What is the consequence? Pregnant how? Get rid of the problem. Adulterous relationship? Divorce lah. Then the children how? You know, I talk to young people, I minister to young people. Because of what happens in their parents' lives, they never want to get married. They think that they will end up like their parents. Generational curses will go down. And then, of course, the LGBT relationships, very toxic. And for the men, even if they are together, they will always want outside sexual encounters because men is very sexual. And then HIV, a small percentage of the population contributing to more than 50% of the HIV. And of course, last year or the year before, there's monkeypox, etc., etc. Let me use another analogy to explain this. You know, my daughter loves to go shopping with me. You know why? Because I pay. Yeah. In fact, one time, very interesting, my daughter went overseas for some trip and then she came back. She bought me a T-shirt when she was a teenager. Now she's in her 20s. She bought me a T-shirt and the T-shirt has an ATM machine. And not only ATM machine, there's a dollar sticking out, half a dollar sticking out. So she asked me to put it on, so I put it on. So she came to me, she pulled a dollar. Dad, you're at my ATM machine. So she loves to go shopping with me, but not only I pay, I will always tell her, why buy one? Buy two lah. Yeah, different colors, look very pretty. Now, my daughter has a very good habit. Whenever she buys something expensive dress, she'll bring home, and then before that, she will check, make sure no string, no tear, whatever. And then when she comes home, she will pass it to our helper and tell her, be careful how you wash, must follow the designer's instructions. God has created us in His image. This body, this temple of the Holy Spirit, God has left behind designer's instructions. How to do sex, how to do marriage, how to do life. So we are not supposed to throw ourselves into the washing machine and like this. That will destroy not just us, but the whole of society. Now, if strong family, strong nation, and then societies are going downhill, where do you think Singapore is? Are we up there, strong family, strong nation? No, we are on the way down. Now, for the yesterday's service and this morning's service, I did a poll, so I asked the question, how many of you think Singapore is up there, number one? I would like all of you to participate, okay? So you think, is it one, or is it 10, or is it 5, or is it 4? Everybody must raise your hands at least once. And you feel free to look around. So this is your church, right? This is your... Okay, how many of you think that Singapore, as a nation, our family, as an institution, is one? We are a strong family. No? Okay, how about two? Okay, got one, very good. Two? Anybody say we are at level two already? We are going down. No? How many say we are three already? Okay, a few hands. What about four? A few hands. What about five? Okay, more hands. What about six? Okay, quite a few hands. Seven? Okay, a few hands. What about eight? Okay, two, three hands. What about nine? Okay, is it one hand? Two. What about 10? You know, yesterday's service, quite a few hands, though, when it comes to 8, 9, 10. I was like, do you know something that I don't know? I need to interview you. Seriously, there are things happening in Singapore, I can tell you, sometimes we don't even know. But it is happening, and it is scary. I used to think it was 5 when I averaged out, but I think we are 6 already. You know, there was a few years ago, Love Singapore organized the Momentum Conference, and they invited the Hong Kong's pastor, the Taiwanese pastor, the US pastor, and when the Hong Kong pastor came up to speak, he said, Singapore, you are stage 1 cancer. Hong Kong, stage 2 already. Taiwan, you stage 3. US, terminal. And of course, when the Taiwanese pastor came up, the Taiwanese pastor said, Hong Kong pastor, you are wrong. Taiwan, stage 4 already. And shortly after that, Taiwan redefined marriage. What is the response of the church? I think the response of the church is for us to go back to God's design. Since Adam and Eve walked out of the Garden of Eden, we have come very, very far from God's design that gives us life. For the church, we know what the Bible says, we know what is on the heart of God, is for us to go back to God's design. If the church doesn't do it, if the light doesn't shine in the midst of darkness, how dark is the darkness, right? If our marriage is not strong, if our fathers are absent, if we continue to be addicted to porn, if we don't support those who are struggling with their sexual identity, the church has no light to shine in the midst of darkness. Now, I'm now going to, with the rest of the time, deep dive into the LGBT issue. I can talk about adultery, I can talk about abortion, I can talk about premarital sex, I can talk about pornography, but I think we keep that for other times. Because this is a topic that is not talked about enough, but yet, in our schools, in our workplace, your boss will tell you, hey, Pride Month, can you organize something? Or Pride Month is coming, let's all wear pink and go and attend Pink Dot. Or have you signed up for the, be an ally or not? Because if you don't sign up for an ally, what's the opposite of ally? Enemy. You don't want to be enemy, but you also don't want to be an ally. It's a very confusing world out there. And then your children come back and say, Mommy, Daddy, you know, the teacher say this, no? How? Then Mommy and Daddy, oh, because you are not schooled in this topic, you also don't know what to do. But with the remaining time, I can only touch on this briefly. But for the rest of the equipping, I encourage you to attend all those workshops that have been organized for you. You know, 10 years ago when I started to look at this issue, it was really a complex issue. Talked to different ones, including people from Choices. And I came up with this framework to help me understand, to help me to respond appropriately. There are 4 groups of people in the LGBT community. The activists, these are the ones that say, I don't need help, you need help. I don't need to change, you need to change. I want to change you, change your society, change culture, change your legislations. Redefine your marriage, redefine family. That's a group of activists, very small group, but they have many allies. Some of them are multinationals, banks, tech companies. And for this group, we need to learn how to engage, how to respond appropriately. There are also the moderates. The moderates are the ones that say, I'm quite happy doing what I'm doing. I can't get married in Singapore, I go overseas. Don't bother me, I don't bother you. For this group, some of them, they may even be our friends or colleagues. We need to continue the friendship. It's like someone having a different worldview or even believing in a different religion. We don't believe in the same thing, but we can still eat char kway teow, right, if you love char kway teow. We don't need to talk about this issue all the time. Agree to disagree. And then there is a group who are struggling. What do we do? Not everyone is an activist. We need to come alongside to provide support, to be a friend, listening ear, and of course, support ministries like Choices, the support group, the counseling, the inner healing. And there are always the overcomers. Been there, done that, they have overcome. You know, my previous life as a prison officer, I hang around with the drug addicts, the gangsters, I go Geylang and look for them. It's a bit similar. There are also 4 quadrants. Example, if I'm a Salakau hitman, I'm like an activist, right, for my gang. I want to recruit your son, I want to recruit your child to join my gang. I will hang around your neighborhood. Nowadays, they even have TikTok. the gang chanting, right? I want to recruit your children to join my gang. They are like the activists. Then we need to push back. I'm sure you don't want me to be in your neighborhood doing this. If I'm a drug trafficker, I want to sell drugs, I'll come to your neighborhood. You want to push me back. But I may be a moderate. I join a gang because I'm lonely, because my parents reject me, and because my school, I don't have friends, so I join a gang. Maybe I'm bullied, I join a gang. I have a sense of belonging. Don't bother me, I don't bother you. I would be like a moderate. Or I'm a drug addict. Each time I take drugs, I get a high, I forget all my problems. I don't feel like I need to change. I'm like a moderate. But there are also people who are struggling. I'm in a gang, I want to get out. It's enough. They are not true friends. Whenever I get into trouble, they all run away. Or I'm a drug addict, I've wasted my life. I need to walk out. But will you be there to walk out with me? Will you be there to support me? And of course, there are those who are ex-gangsters and ex-drug addicts. They are powerful testimonies. It's very similar. There are four categories. And so if we walk with the strugglers, they become overcomers. If we befriend the moderates and some of them, you know, okay, you got HIV. And then they come and reach out to me, Jason, I should listen to you. Come, let's talk. They may move over from a moderate to a struggler, etc., etc. You know, one time I was praying, I was listing out all the activists in my head. I was about to pray against them. This was a few years ago. And then the Lord stopped me. The Lord said, Jason, can Saul become Paul? I said, can Saul become Paul? Yeah, Saul can become Paul. You appeared before Saul. Right? And that was what the Lord did to me, convicted in me that instead of praying against the activists, we should pray for the activists. I'm sure the first century Christian prayed for Saul, even though Saul was going around persecuting the church. And as a result, Jesus appeared in his mercy. Jesus appeared before Saul. And Saul became one of the greatest, if not the greatest, missionary and evangelist of the times. Now, I'm now going to talk about the left side. How do we understand this activism? And also end with the right side. How do we come alongside those who are struggling? You know what the activists are asking for? It's a long list of demands. There are three slides. This is only the first. How do I know? There are no secrets. A few of the organizations, pro-LGBT organizations, have written a report submitted to the United Nations 2-3 years ago, and these are all their demands or their wish list. Long list. And of course, if you look at the first one, comprehensive sex education. Each time you come across the word comprehensive, inclusive, progressive, you have to be very careful. That basically means LGBT contents. Normalizing this in the schools. Another list. The first one, banning therapy. All forms of therapy. By the way, conversion therapy is a term that's invented by the pro-LGBT activists. It didn't come from us. Only God can convert people. We can't convert people. But we offer therapy. In some countries, they have banned any form of therapy. In fact, 2-3 years ago, in Parliament, one of the nominated MP actually raised a question on conversion therapy. He said, why are you asking such a question? Nobody is doing it in Singapore. Anyway, in some countries, it is banned. In fact, in Australia, if you have heard of from Pastor Benny Ho, a couple of years ago, he shared with the pastors, there was a bill that was passed in Victoria, Melbourne, Victoria, banning therapy. And it is extraterritorial, meaning if someone who lives in Victoria travel to Perth and ask Pastor Benny to pray for him, and Pastor Benny say, okay, I pray for your struggles. And then this person went back to Victoria, and then he decided, I think I'm born this way, you know. I think Pastor Benny Ho shouldn't have prayed for me, you know, since I'm born this way. Guess what? If he complained about Pastor Benny Ho, Pastor Benny Ho can be sued and charged in court for praying for someone. Which means if this come about in Singapore, choices. You can start prison ministry in the prisons. The last list is here. I'm sure there are others. I would refer you to number 13, the media codes. What will our children be watching? Will it be R21? Will it be NC-16? Or it will be free for all? Recently, someone sent me a photo taken at the MRT station in Singapore, whereby there was a poster promoting an R21 drama series called The Modern Family. How did it happen? An R21 being promoted in an MRT station where the public children can see. Now, there are a lot of things that I can talk about, but I want to talk about this word discrimination. Very often, as Christians or conservatives, those who hold on to conservative values, we dare not speak up, we dare not share our views because of this word discrimination, because there will be people who say, stop discriminating us. Let me explain. We don't discriminate against anybody, but we can discriminate against the action, the behaviors, the choices. Meaning, we accept everybody, we love everybody, but we may not accept every action, every behavior. And it's okay. Let's say I'm a smoker. I smoke. I'm in a coffee shop. And then I walk towards a table. Then the person says, hey, ape, uncle, can you please don't smoke here? You want to smoke, you sit at the table. Can you imagine I look at these guys, I say, hey, you discriminate against me. You don't expect me. How come you... No, I'm not discriminating against you. It's just your behavior. You can do it there, but not here. The other thing is, disagreeing with someone doesn't mean we are discriminating against that person. There are ideas and there are bad ideas. And ideas have consequences. Bad ideas have victims. And if you listen to someone saying something, if you think it's a bad idea, you need to offer your idea so that people can discuss. Let me explain. Let's say I have a friend and my friend say, why can't we just allow two men to start a family? He is suggesting something, but I disagree. I'm not discriminating against him, I'm just disagreeing with his idea, his suggestion. I don't think it's a good idea, two men having a baby, where are they going to get a baby from? Well, they can go and get from somewhere. I said, that means surrogacy. That means you're going to pay a poor woman somewhere, buy that womb for 9 months, and then after that, tell the mother of the child, we don't need you. In fact, when the child comes, you raise the child asks, where's my mother? You know what the two fathers will say? You don't need a mother. You just need love. You just need love. You don't need a mother. But the child will be wondering, half my DNA comes from my father, half my DNA comes from my mother. How come I don't need a mother? How come life is like that? How come the world is like that? It is okay to disagree if it is a bad idea, because bad ideas have victims. I want to touch on this before I talk about the right side of the four quadrants. I know 3 sunset is gone, it's over, it's repealed, no more. But there's something I need to share. This is the first time I'm sharing in a pulpit. Last year, July, I was involved in a prayer group before the Protect Singapore Town Hall. And we were just sharing so that we know how to pray. And one of the pastors said, you know, a Christian who is a lawyer told the pastor, Pastor, I think 3 sunset is a bad law, it's archaic, it comes from UK, or it's left behind by the colonial masters, or some Indian constitution that we adopted and follow. I don't know why, I just felt very uncomfortable. And so as we entered into the prayer, the Lord spoke to me. My law given to you is to protect you. It is not left behind by the Commonwealth Nations, not the UK government. These are laws that I have given to my people, to the nations, to protect, to offer as a shield. And then I felt God was grieving because we have basically said to God, we don't need your law. When we reject the laws, we are actually rejecting God. It's like your children come to you, Dad, stop talking like that. You don't know what you're talking about. You're so old-fashioned. You know what happens to a dad who is trying to offer good advice to my child? I will turn, and that was what I sensed. I sensed the father turning his face away. And shortly after that, in August, 1 month later, National Day, in front of a live audience, in the floating platform, and of course, whole Singapore was watching the parade, and I saw this happen. I'm sure you remember. And I recall the commentator said this, the lion has fallen. The lion has fallen. But thankful, he is well now, And of course, we knew that it was the 10th lion. There were 10 parachutists, the red lions. 10 representing to me the law of God. And then I monitored again. I watched what was happening. And the next month, in September, our Olympian, the only one that won a gold medal, fell. And I continued to watch. 2 months later, in November, our icon, financial institution, fell. I think this was the most obvious because 377. Where got so soon? Strike lottery, also not so soon. And of course, there was a buzz, and you know, all the people were chatting with each other. Do you know that this was the second day when it was reported in Straits Times? The first day it was reported in other media. And so one of my intercessor friend said, Jason, I know you're looking at 377, but let me tell you, in USD, US dollar, that number is even more significant. I said, what do you mean? The day before, when it was first released in the media, is 275. So I said, what's so special about the number 275? In Hebrew, every alphabet is also a letter. Hebrew is written from right to left. When you put 275, you put the characters together, you know what it says? It's the word plunder. You know, if you stay in a house, especially in a bungalow house, if you have upstairs, downstairs, you will say, hey, have you locked the door? Have you locked the door? Have you locked the gate? If you haven't, can you sleep peacefully? Satan comes to steal, to kill, to destroy when some gates or some doors are left open. And what happened in the last 1-2 months? Not just a lion fell, which is our defense, commando, which is the icon. Olympian fell, financial institution fell. Of course, there was also some containers in the shipyard that fell into the waters. In the last 2 months, politicians start to fall one by one. What is our response then as a church? I don't think we should join all the gossips and all the attacks. Our response is this. If my people who are called by my name will humble themselves and pray and seek my face and turn from their wicked ways, then I will hear from heaven and I will forgive their sin and will heal their land. We need to humble ourselves. In fact, I think we need to bring the fear of God back. We are really taking God for granted. We should be very thankful that Singapore is what it is today. And the other thing is, seek His face, because His face has turned away. Seek His face, seek His face, seek His face, and ask Him to turn His face back so that the nation can be protected. I think that should be our response during this time and season. Lastly, I want to talk about the right side, the strugglers. You know, in a big enough church, you will have some who struggle in your community. Focus of Family, when I was the chairperson 4 or 5 years ago, we did a research. At least 1-3% in any community in a church will struggle or identify as LGBT. The fact that they are still in a church, that means they want to walk right with God. But they can't do it alone. They need our support. I remember one time there was one of my mentees said, Jason, I actually want to come out and tell my cell members, no? I said, did you do it? He said, no, I was about to share, and then one of them told a gay joke, and everybody laughed. So I thought, this is not a very safe place for me to come out. 10 years ago, when I started to walk this journey, God sent me, one by one, people to mentor. And the first person was Raphael. And I remember, I told God, I said, I don't know what to do because I work with gangsters, I work with drug addicts, I work with other, last the lost, the least, but I've never worked with this community before. Jesus just gave me one answer. Be Jesus to him. Just be Jesus. I tell you, not easy, right? Jesus is Jesus, I'm not Jesus. And then sometimes he tell me some of the things that he has been doing, like, I want to fall on my chair, you know, but cannot, I need to be Jesus. So nowadays, when he shares his testimony, he will say, Jason has that counselor face. non-judgmental face. Not easier to keep that face. Anyway, let's watch this video.
So, how are you, Rafael? I haven't seen you for a while.
Work's a bit busy. Yeah, but it's been enjoyable. How about you?
Well, life's been good too. I've been busy giving talks and doing some mentoring. You know, come to think of it, it's been close to 4 years since we started our mentoring journey. And I still remember you were a very different person when I first met you.
Really? Yeah. Different in what way?
I still remember when you first met me, you were skeptical, cynical, yeah, sensitive, but yeah, you're a different man now.
So before I met you, I was, 10 years ago. I think I shared with you before that I was, I used to identify as gay, and I was pursuing my gay desires, looking for relationships, struggling with sexual encounters as well, falling into that. So I think 10 years of that, I struggled a lot. It didn't give me the kind of happiness and joy that I thought I wanted. I came across many different kinds of arguments, and I guess I began to change my mind. I used to think I was born gay. Yeah. So when I was convinced that pursuing my gay desires was not what will bring me true peace and joy, yeah, I wanted to look for a mentor.
It was fear and trembling, I must say. I've never mentored someone like yourself before. I mean, I remember the time where I think I must have pressed the wrong button and you looked at me and said, y'all say love the sinner, hate the sin, but where's the love? And I could feel the pain. You were crying out, and I realized at that time, how, as a Christian community, we have really not done enough to reach out, to support, and to work with somebody like yourself.
I guess looking back, I would really characterize our mentoring journey as you having showed me the love of a father in ways that I really would have wanted when I was growing up. And so when you came into my life, you really showed me that kind of fatherly love. Yeah, and I remember that night when I called you up because I wanted to go for a HIV test, and I was really scared. But I remember your response was, "No, I'm your mentor. I should go with you."
When I received the call on that night, I was really worried. I mean, you asked for prayer. I thought, no prayer is what there's something that I can do, but I need to be there for you. I remember when I walked into the clinic, I said, "Wow, no, so." Many young men, and none of them had a father or a mentor or someone with them. They were all coming in and out on their own. I was so glad you came up to me and say, "It's negative." And you also said that I would never come back here again.
I guess something that really helped along the way was that you played more than a little part. I mean, I think if not for you, and if not for other people in the church who came to walk alongside me, I would still be back then struggling with all those brokenness and unable to, I guess, find the peace that I was looking for. Yeah, so I really want to thank you for the love that you showed me. I think you showed me really like what true love is. Like, you showed me that true love is unconditional. It is patient. True love is kind. It doesn't encourage what is bad. I mean, I'm sure there were many moments when, out of fear of hurting my feelings, you could have just said nothing when I wanted to pursue a gay relationship, or when I fell into sexual encounters, you didn't have to say anything, you know. But you showed me that true love is a love that dared to speak the truth, and you spoke into those situations with love, and with patience, and with understanding, and Yeah, and I think that just is something that moves me and floors me to this day. You and the church community and demonstrating, embodying, I guess, that kind of love to me. Yeah, so I really want to thank you. Without you, I would not have been where I am today. I would not have found the kind of joy, happiness, the peace that I was looking for all those 10 years. Yeah, so thank you. Thanks for being my mentor and being a father figure to me.
You know, God is a good, good father. I'm not the only one that walked with Rafael. There are others that come alongside him. And I remember the night where Rafael called me and said that he's not feeling too well and he thought he might have HIV. So I encouraged him, I think you should go and do a test. He said, yeah, he planned to go the next day. And I told him, I'll go with you. And his response was, no, cannot, you cannot come with me. I said, why not? I'm your mentor. You know what was his reply? You Yellow Ribbon Project, that's for life. Everybody will recognize you. You cannot come. He was trying to protect me. But I was there that day. I think he was the only one that was accompanied by someone. So many young men walking in and out. Some walk out smiling, some walk out sad. And I remember I was just waiting for Rafael to come up with his blood test results. And when he came up, I was just so anxious, looking at his face. And he smiled at me and he said, it's negative. I will never come back here again. And Rafael, in December last year, he completed his master's in counseling and is now working in a counseling center helping people who struggle with sexual brokenness. God is good, isn't it? And that's where ministries like Choices come in. Over the years, Choices have also helped many strugglers. You know, if we are low on truth and low on love and compassion, we are uncommitted, we are irrelevant as a church, we are of no use to society and to those who are struggling. But if we are low on truth, no truth, but we are high on love and compassion, we will come across as very permissive. Do whatever you want, as long as you are happy. Everyone is free to love. Love is love. I don't think that is a very loving thing to do. And if we have a lot of truth, we know what the Bible says, we know God's design, but we have no love and no compassion, we will come across as very judgmental and hypocritical. What the church needs is to be full of grace and truth. Love and truth. That will be very healing and restorative. Let's pray. Father, I just want to thank you that your design is beautiful. Your design for sex, for sexuality, for marriage, for family, for children gives us life. And Lord, if your church has walked away from your design, we pray that you will forgive us. You will help us to come back to the garden where it all began. And this is a garden city, Lord. Singapore is a garden city. We pray that our marriages, our family will live up to the template that you have in heaven for us. And for those of us who are struggling, we pray that you will meet us where we are and bring us home. In Jesus' name we pray. Let us stand and sing this closing song. For the one
Church, we have come to the end of the service. You know, we'll have our pastors in front. Even as I was listening to Jason's sharing, I just felt that God's love is indeed in this place. And you know, God's love is unconditional. He's patient. He's kind. God is loved. And so if you would like someone to pray with you, we'll be here. And for some of us, if you want to step out and even come to the Lord and say, Lord, I want to choose holiness, for you are God of holy. You are holy. I want to choose to be your hands and feet. We'll be here. So allow me to pray over us, even as we end the service this morning. Father, we thank you for your love. God, you are love. Thank you for your great love for us. This morning, thank you for reminding us your godly design for love and for relationship. This morning, I want to pray for us that we will go out to continue to be a demonstration of your love, of who you are out in the world. That we will choose to live a life that is holy, a life that is pure and good, because you are a good Father. So may the grace of our Lord Jesus Christ, the love of God, and the fellowship of the Holy Spirit be with you now and always. In Jesus' name we pray. Amen.